And worship team, thank you very much for leading us in that. Changed the topic a little bit from what was in the order of service, so I know Ian's real good to look and see what's in there and to plan the worship around it. And the topic today is not the same as what he thought, but the songs he picked were very, very fitting to what we're talking about today. And the one we will end with today is an amazing song for the topic that we have at hand. We are talking about praying for the persecuted church today, and I'll get into that in just a moment. But to let you know, as we come into this topic, just that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I couldn't help but just think through the eyes of those in the world who are persecuted, they would be joining us in singing that song today. We can sing, we have fears, but I'm no longer a slave to fear. I can let go all that go. I can trust God. But when that fear is around your life and around your livelihood and around your safety, it would probably carry a whole lot of different meanings. So today I want us to focus around this theme. November 3rd, we're a little late on this, but November 3rd was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. It's always the first, I believe it's always the first Sunday in November. And because of some things going on here, we chose to put it off and to make sure that we had time to do it properly. And I don't know if we ever have time to do it properly. But today is our day that we want to come and to address this issue and to not only today. So I don't think it really matters which day we do it on, but we need to be mindful of our brothers and sisters in Christ who do not have the freedoms that we have. So I want us to be aware of that today. Richard Tubb has been involved with the Voice of the Martyrs for years and has always, for a long time, kept the little poster thing we had over in this corner up to date, and I appreciate that, Richard. Darcy, where are you? Darcy, Ann Sorger. Darcy still continues to work with the Voice of the Martyrs and partner with them. Stand up a minute, Darcy. Nobody had a chance to really look at you. This is Darcy. Stand up. Stay there. If you are interested in more information on the persecuted church, you can go to Voice of the Martyrs online, Voice of the Martyrs Canada, and look it up. You can go to Open Doors, look those up. There's lots of great resources out there. I'm just going to have you sit down if you didn't already, but you already sat down. But Darcy would be glad to point you that way, and I'm sure Richard would love to chat with you as well. For us to be aware of what is going on in the world is so important to us, and I'll come back to that in a moment, or in a few moments. But today we come, and we want to just think of the things that we are sometimes not aware of that happen in the world. One of my pet peeves in this world is anybody in North America who tells me they're being persecuted for their faith. And I say that because I don't think we even begin to understand what that word means. If you think you are persecuted because somebody in a free and democratic society differs from you and wants to say so, that is not persecution. If all you need to do to remove yourself from your persecution is to get off Facebook, it is not persecution. Okay? Let's get it straight. People can disagree with you all they want, and that may be a disagreement, but unless they're coming and burning your house down or burning your church down or taking you into house arrest or into a jail and risking your life, I don't think we can truly call it persecution. Not the way that some people in this world perceive that term to be used. Now, it may be because of your faith. And sometimes we ask for it. Sometimes our faith, the way we present it, causes people to be angry with us. And I think sometimes we could fix that a little bit. That we could handle our faith a little better. That we could be a little more loving, a little more compassionate. And sometimes it is for no other reason than the fact that people do not like what we believe. But I still, and I'm sure I'm making some of you angry right now, and you can go on Facebook and talk about it later if you'd like. But I don't think we're persecuted here. Nobody's once come down. People have told me, people are coming, they're coming, they're shut your churches down. I've been in ministry for 30-some years, and they've not once tried to shut our church down or close our doors or tell us we can't speak about what we want to speak about. So let's get our terminology correct. When I'm talking about, you can define it however you want, I'm talking about persecution that brings life, liberty, livelihood into question for people. That's what I'm addressing today. And I think that's what we need to look at. Did you know in the world, every day, 1 in 12 Christians in the world experiences high or very high or extreme persecution for following Jesus? And I'll bet you that 1 in 12 does not factor in many people in North America, but a lot of places in the world. 1 in 12, high, very high, or extreme persecution for following Jesus. Every month, 66 churches in the world are attacked, burned, or vandalized. Now, that does happen in North America at times. Each day, 6 Christian women are raped, sexually harassed, or forced into marriage. Every month, 2,800 Christians are forced to leave their home because they believe in Jesus. Now, there might be an off chance some of you in this room who have stepped out in faith in Christ were asked to leave your family or your home. So maybe those things do apply in some way. But for the vast majority of us, life here is not that complicated. We can come here every week. We can gather here safely. We don't have to worry about who's seeing us leave our home all dressed up, going to church. We don't have to worry about parking our car in the parking lot here and being seen coming into this church, holding our, I don't have my phone, but holding our Bible either in our phone or thing. We don't have to worry about handing a Bible to somebody to read. We have the opportunity to walk in relative freedom. More than any time in modern history, the church is being attacked today. You think it's getting better? It's not. It's getting worse. More Christians are tortured. More churches are burned. More pastors are risking losing their life. Christian leaders as well. I want to read to you from the Apostle Paul. And Paul knew what it was like to be persecuted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm not going to have it on the screen. Just listen or open your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I hear some pages turning. I'll wait till you get there. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happens that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 26 and 27, we read these words from Paul as well. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And this is that part where he's talking about the body being made up of all these different pieces and parts, and we come together as one body of Christ. And we're reminded very clearly that if one part suffers, all suffer. So as we gather today, we gather in comfort, we gather in safety, and yet we have to think about our brothers and sisters around the world, and as they suffer, we need to suffer with them. Now I'll come back to the struggles of how it is that we can do that in a few moments. But right now I want to show a little video. It's about a 6-minute video done by Voice of the Martyrs. And this is about a pastor by the name of Pastor Han. And this was not long ago. We often can see these things and say, well, that's how it used to be. That's not the way it is. This is a story that happened in 2016. And Pastor Han was a pastor in China who reached out to people in North Korea. I want you to watch this video and just let your heart be moved by this true story of this man of faith. Let's watch this together.
이 초등학교에서 우리는 선교사들은 모두 승량이 되라고.
In the primary school, we were taught that all missionaries were terrorists. They told us that a missionary will be nice to you at first, but when they get you into their homes, then they will kill you and eat your liver. There was no food and no work in my village. Like some others, I snuck across the mountain border into China. I picked mushrooms in the hopes of selling them in Chiang Mai. I don't speak Chinese at all. But in the mountains, I met a man. He said, I can sell those for you. And he didn't cheat me. He gave me all the money from the sale. At that time, I didn't know he was Pastor Han. Over the next 2 years, I went back several times. Each time, Pastor Han helped me. One day, I asked why he would do this, for he himself was in great danger for assisting a North Korean. It is because I am a Christian, he said. That made me afraid. Was he going to eat my liver? One day, Pastor Han said to me, God is real. There is hope for every person. I could not believe he would say that word, God. Nobody says that word. We know it is an act of treason. To speak the name of God can lead to soldiers coming in the night. About you, and no one will ever dare ask where you have gone. One day I asked Pastor Han for a Bible. He knew that if I was caught with a Bible, my life would be in danger. But over time, I persuaded him. I showed the Bible to my wife. At first, she refused to even look at it. Why would you bring that here? She cried. She knew that if anyone reported that you had even glanced at a Bible, you would be arrested, and not just you. You and all your relatives sent to the concentration camps for years and years and years. Over time, my wife too learned that God is real. She found hope. And then I shared the word of God with my best friend. It was very dangerous for me to share.
다시는 연락하지 말라.
우리 모두한테 좋은 소식이야.
It was very dangerous for him to listen. One day in the summer of 2016, we heard that some North Korean assassins were being honored by the government, rewarded for their good work for killing a terrorist missionary in Chiang Mai. We knew it was Pastor Han. Who else could it be?
우리는 너무 두려웠습니다.
We were frightened. Did they know he was my friend? Did they know I had met with him many times?
내가 여러 번 한 목사를 만났다는 것을 알아냈을까?
이러다 우리도 죽는 거 아닙니까?
아, 방영 또 하는 소리.
한 목사님은
Pastor Han gave his life. But he gave hope to me and to many other North Koreans. And despite the ever-present danger, many of us will continue to share the message that God is real. We hope that our sacrifice, when the day comes, will be worthwhile. Just like it was for Pastor Han.
한 목사님이 그러셨던 것처럼 말입니다.
True story. Dramatized, sure, but true. And for every one of these stories, there's so many more that cannot be told, cannot be written about, and we need to come alongside these folks. One man having a discipleship ministry to 1,000 that will reach to tens, if not hundreds of thousands. And the power of that man's testimony, despite the risk that he took. And the life that was lost. It's true in some of our mission fields right now in Nigeria and Cameroon, things are not as safe as they have been at times for those who walk with Christ. One of our supported missionaries, Cheryl Grunwald, we know Cheryl well. Cheryl quite often goes into countries to do training for children's ministry workers there where she cannot say why she's there. She cannot openly speak about these things. And I know Cheryl has stories of some of her colleagues who risked their life to come and even hear her speak. At times, it seems like, what do we do about this? We can't go over there. We can't change things. We truly can't. How do we make a difference? There's nothing we can do from so far away. Even if we had money and gave, it doesn't necessarily make a difference because they can't build church buildings to gather people together. But there are lots of ways that we can be involved, and there's lots of ways we can encourage. Many of you, how many people have ever been on a youth with a mission of some sort, a DDT, or down at the base in Tijuana? Many of you remember the early days of Youth with a Mission was to smuggle Bibles. And I remember sitting with a young man, he was an older man, older than me at the time when I was a young man, who told me about one of those first trips with Youth for the Mission and smuggling Bibles into a communist country. There are ways that way that we can do it, but I think first and foremost, the thing that we can do is pray for them. You go anywhere in the world where people don't have it as well as we do, whether it's just financial security or whether it's safety and the ability to worship. The thing that blows my mind, which shouldn't, but it does, is these fellow believers in Christ, our brothers and our sisters, who do not look down on us for how good we have it. I remember asking one of my friends in Ethiopia, do you look down on us because we have it so good and we have such, you know, we have nice buildings, we have safety and security, we can come together and we have affluence and all this. And he said, why would we be upset that God is blessing you? Now, I don't know if it's God's blessing or not. I think sometimes our affluence is not necessarily a blessing from God, but a curse that we have to learn to deal with because it can take us away from God. But they long to see the blessing of God wherever God wants to put it. And they see it where they are, even though they are persecuted. They walk with an understanding that God is using them. You don't risk your life, I think, if you don't think God's going to use it and that God can use it. I don't think you live a life like Pastor Han if you think that nothing good will come of it and that God doesn't want you to do that. So they step out in faith. I have one more passage I want to read to you, and then I want to give us just five things, five ways I think we can pray, and then we're going to pray for those who are persecuted. And this is a short passage, so if you have your Bible, you can open them up to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6, just those two verses, 18, 19, and 20, or those three verses. Once again, Paul is speaking. He's asking for help. And he says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And Paul, as he quite often does, is speaking about being an ambassador in chains. He quite often would end up in prison or somewhere that was not so nice. There's a joke that says that when Paul would go to a town, the first thing he would say is, what do your prisons look like here? Because I'm going to end up there eventually anyway. But Paul is asking those who would read this letter to be mindful of his state and the state of his fellow ministers of the gospel. And he asked for a number of things, and he asked them to speak through prayer into a number of things. And I just want to give us five of those things today. He talks about having the right words. He says, pray that when I speak, basically what he's saying is, when I speak, allow the words to be the words of God. Because he knows that when he has an opportunity to speak, because of the situation he's in, people are listening. And he doesn't want to waste a single word that is not to the point that God has him in chains as an ambassador of Christ. So as we pray for our fellow believers in Christ, let's pray as Paul asks us to. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Not just the right words, but that he would speak the right words fearlessly. So the first one is just right words. Second one is, pray that the persecuted Christians will understand and find peace in the sufficiency of God's grace. That they would understand, even in their weakness, God's strength is with them. And that it is sufficient for all things. Now, I need to remember that when I come up here to speak to you every Sunday, that it's God's strength, not mine. But I don't risk what I say that one of you might go turn me in and I might get arrested for it. So it's easy for me to stand up here and act like I'm fearless. It's another thing for a person to stand on the gospel and fearlessly speak the gospel, knowing that it might end their life to do so. So right words, a peace in the sufficiency of God's grace to them. Third thing is just that we pray that the Christians facing hardship will draw from a source and a power greater than themselves. That they would understand that they have to trust in God's power because they can't do it in their own. They have to know that He is there for them and that it is in His power that they do these things. I think often we can think of, you know, Pastor Han gave his life, died as a martyr, assassinated by the North Korean army. Was that honoring to God? Well, I think the fact that he lived his life in every moment to be honoring to God in every way says it is honoring to God. And while we can't understand why God would let it happen, that he would be killed instead of continuing to preach, Paul said so often that, you know what, I'm here as long as God wants me here, and if God wants to take me away, I'll go away and I'll have it better. If he wants me here to preach, I'll be here to preach. But he knew his message would go on no matter what. So the power and the source of these people's power is not within themselves. Trust me, it takes a lot of gumption to get up every morning to go out there and preach God's word when you know you might lose your life for it. And there is a certain human aspect where you have to draw that up from within, but it comes back to what do you have your faith in? What is the sufficiency of the power that you have? And if it's in Christ, then it is much larger than yourself, and it speaks through you. So right words, peace and sufficiency of Christ, this larger source of power within those who are being persecuted. The fourth one is that God would just simply be present with them. And we know by reading Scripture, we know that He is. We know that God is everywhere at all times, and He's with His people, especially, not especially, He's always with His people. But when we need Him most, He is present and there. So our prayer is not that God would show up, but our prayer is that the people of God would see Him when He's there, because He is there. So pray for those that they would feel His presence, sense it somehow. And I would pray that even this morning as we're praying, that somehow in God's economy, where I don't understand it, somehow our prayers here today would be felt by people around the world who need to feel them. And guess what? They are. Have you ever struggled at a point in your life when people were praying for you and you could just feel it? Not a matter of proximity. It's a matter of positioning ourselves with Christ and in Him to pray for these people. Remember a time in our life where we were struggling. Joanne was struggling with a major infection after Hannah was born. And I just remember the prayers of the people. We found out, she went in back into the hospital on Thursday. Found out on Sunday that people in 20-some different churches in more than 5 different countries were praying for us. And guess what, folks? This was before the internet existed, okay? This is before Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything. Somehow people cared for us and passed the word on to people who cared for us from a distance, whether they knew us or not. And that was not persecution, but man, we felt those prayers. And maybe you felt those prayers in your life at some point. Our prayers do not go unanswered. They do not go unheard. They do not go without power and authority in the name of the one that we pray and present these requests. So let's pray that our brothers and sisters, even today and in the days and weeks to come as they are persecuted, would sense and feel in an amazing way the presence of Christ with them. And the last prayer, by the way, I found this from the Open Door people. This is not original to me, but I thank you. I thank them for the work that they do, because it was just such a good way for us to pray. The fifth one is to pray that the witness of those who are persecuted would inspire the lives of those who persecute them to consider who God is. And we see throughout Scripture when people would persecute God's people, and then they would see who God is. We see it at the foot of the cross. We see it in the jailer with Paul and Silas. And we see it in so many different stories, that these people who are persecuting the followers of Christ are touched quite often by the testimony of the people that they're persecuting, and at other times simply touched by the Spirit of God himself. Paul, on the road to Damascus, going to persecute more Christians, boom, the light comes, reality opens up, and I don't care what your theology is, you got to say God did something amazing there and changed Paul's heart. So we want to pray that these lives don't go without effect. They don't not change things. Pastor Han's life changed the lives of, I would guess, hundreds of thousands of people through the 1,000 people that he discipled. And my guess would be, too, I can't prove this, and I don't know if anybody ever could. There are some who persecuted Christians who saw the man die for his faith, who would stand and say, there's got to be something more to this story than what I think. And let me consider who this God is that this man was willing to die for. So today, we're going to pray for these things. I'm just going to give them to you one at a time, and then just going to ask for 30, 45 seconds of quiet, and I just want you to pray over these things. And then we're going to have the worship team come up, and our last song is It Is Well, the newer version. And I love, there's the one chorus in there that says, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. And I'll guarantee you that that is the life of these people who live by faith, even though persecuted. That through it all, they keep their eyes on God, and through it all, it is well. Because God is using their lives of obedience. So if you just join me however you want to in prayer, if you want to take a position of prayer, if you want to kneel, go for it. We won't look down on you. If you want to turn in your chair, you want to come to the altar, if you just want to sit quietly with your hands open, if you just want to have your eyes open, I don't care. We're going to pray. And I'm just going to mention one of these things, and then we're going to pray for it. Then the next one, we'll pray for all five of these things. But let's pray together. Father, we come today. And as we think about our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted around the world, Father, right now, as Paul has requested back 2,000 years ago, and as we know it would still be the request of those persecuted, we would pray for those who have opportunity to be persecuted for you to have the right words to speak, that they might proclaim fearlessly the mystery of the gospel. So, Father, we now raise that up to you. Father, we too pray that those persecuted for their faith will understand and find peace in the sufficiency of your grace, even in their weakness. Father, we pray that Christians facing hardship will draw from a source of power larger than themselves. Father, we pray that you would be present with persecuted Christians in their hardship, protecting them according to your will. Father, we pray that for those who are being persecuted for their faith, that their witness would inspire those who seek to harm them. Father, we say thank you for the opportunity to be about the business of prayer for our brothers and sisters. And Father, we know that at times, for however it works in your plans, you allow these things to happen. We can't understand these things that you do sometimes. But Father, I do know and I do pray that even in times of persecution, the church can grow mightily. So, Father, for the places in the world where persecution is happening and true discipleship is rooting deep into the very soul of those places, Lord, we would pray that your work in and through your church would be just multiplied. That, Father, in these places where it seems like there's no ability to preach your gospel, that the gospel would be preached. And, Lord, where it is frightfully dangerous to own a Bible, that, Lord, your Bible is being passed along and shared and memorized and learned and deeply believed. So we come before you and just simply ask that our prayers would have been heard by you today. And that, Lord, the power of our prayers would go to our brothers and sisters and be felt. And that they would know in some small way that they are not alone. That the gospel goes forth from them as the church surrounds them in prayer around the world. So we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Call the worship team on up. And real quick, I want you to take a sixth prayer with you. I'm not going to pray this today, but I want you to be praying about how God wants you to be in prayer for these things or how he wants you to be involved. Somebody in this room most likely is challenged today, maybe more than one, but I would guess at least one who says, you know what, we need to do more about that. I need to be more aware of that. And I encourage you to find a way to make sure that you are about whatever God is calling you to. So if that's talking to Darcy or to talk to Richard or to look up Voice of the Martyrs online and to get involved, if that's just to pray more, I encourage you to do that. But I'm going to ask every one of us to do something. And I've been working this. I've been working with this little thing called Tiny Habits, just in my own life to try to create habits. Habits are hard to create. New habits are hard to create. And psychology tells us that if we want to create a new habit, it starts in a tiny habit. So here's what a tiny habit is. It's anything you can do in 30 seconds or less that is tied to something you already do. So for me, that's putting my feet on the floor in the morning. It takes me at least 30 seconds to get my legs out of the bed, onto the ground. But when my feet hit, I have a certain prayer I pray in the morning. When I brush my teeth, I pray a prayer of gratitude that I'm thankful for certain things. Because it's easy to forget what you're thankful for. I encourage each one of us to create a tiny habit around praying for those in our family of faith that don't have it safe and easy like we do. So you find that one thing you do every day, and hopefully you brush your teeth every day. So that's always a good place to start. Maybe wash your face. When you do something that you do every day, tie a habit of just stopping, even if it's just for 15 to 30 seconds, to pray for those around the world who are persecuted. And that will have a huge impact in our world. As we sing this last song, think about these words. Take them to heart. That no matter what God's allowing to happen in our life, no matter what is happening in our life, that God is there and we have to keep our eyes on Him through it all. Let's pray. Let's sing together.